Everybody, welcome to the third annual Kinda Honey podcast. Yay! Today I am joined by three of the Kinda Honeys. We have one, Miss Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller. Hello, hi. Hello.
Am I supposed to speak? Oh my god.
Yes, you can say hi. Hello. We have one, Gia Tapley Harris, almost Gettys.
Hi.
And one, Paula Coelho.
Guys.
You forgot.
Oh, sorry. We also have one Mr. Pomplamoose Andres Gettys joining us for the podcast today because he and Gia are attached to the hip at all times.
You gotta be.
And prefers to be with Gia at all times. But yes, welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. Every week, four people, not usually us, join around a metaphorical table to talk about whatever they want to talk about this week. This week, we're going to be rehashing some of the most contentious debates that the podcast has gone over during these quarantine months. I know you guys are really excited to hear our take on the burger debate. And yeah, we're excited to like hang out and talk because it's been like a very long time since all four of us have seen each other. Which is
When was the last time we did this? 2018?
Yeah, because I don't think we did one last year. Mm-hmm. We were all like traveling for the world tour and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Yeah. I want to thank our Kinda Funny Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Stevie Combs, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Blackjack, Lee Polero, Kieran O'Donnell, Steve Powers, Chaminda Hangilpola, I think. I think that's how you say it. And today we're sponsored by Honey, DraftKings, and Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. But Tim's going to tell you about that a little bit later. First of all, how are you guys doing?
Good. Yeah.
Everybody's just hanging out. Everybody enjoyed their four-day weekend and thankfully didn't completely melt by the looks of it.
San Francisco, it's never hot until it is.
Joey, and it's like unbearable.
I like how you called it on a four-day weekend when it was definitely a three-day weekend.
Listen, what I called like four different people by the wrong name today, so my brain mentally still kind of on vacation.
I still feel to this day like it's like May 18th, so I don't know.
I know, like, somehow we're almost halfway through September or like a third of the way. It's just really quite bonkers. Okay, we're going to dive in to the first topic. The first topic was brought to us kind of secondhand from the community Zooms that happen every weekend. The question that got posed is, will Andy's girlfriend, hypothetical girlfriend, get invited to Tim and Gia's wedding? Gia, do you have strong feelings about the girlfriend that Andy doesn't have yet, but may have in time for your wedding?
Yeah, very excited to meet her. Heard so much about her. No, I mean, Tim and I are both really inclusive people. And so we want, you know, we don't need our wedding to be a super exclusive event. So I, for the most part, feel the more the merrier, although, you know, within reason. So assuming that Andy has a girlfriend that we have heard about and he's told us about, I would say she probably makes the cut. She probably gets on the list. He's not going to have a generic plus one to bring, you know, someone that we've never heard about. But as long as we can, like, address the invitation to him and this hypothetical girlfriend, she's in.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like with all the, like, wedding circuit things that maybe aren't happening right now but have happened in the past, do you feel that you've always gotten like, have you ever gone to a wedding where you've gotten just like a generic plus one, or is it usually only if you're with partners?
I feel like I trust the people I invite to bring people that I know we would probably want to include in the celebrations. You know, like, of course, Greg and I had a very small elopement, but if we did a full scale wedding, I feel like I would trust the decision of my friends. So even if I don't know them fully, like, they're plus one, I would be okay, I think.
But would you give them, like, a generic blank plus one?
Yeah, like, everyone gets to bring
somebody. Everyone gets to bring somebody.
Oh. Like, yeah, probably, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, because I trust my friends to bring good people over, I think.
And it is like a fun party.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's expensive. I mean, you know, in most cases, you're paying per head. So I think that's where there has to be a little bit of
curation.
Yeah, curation.
We definitely did not give everyone a plus one.
Yeah.
But like, it's because we legitimately like couldn't without spending so much more money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. It so, doubles your list or more. Yeah. Less. Yeah.
And it that's so, true. I mean, assuming they had like a significant other though, yeah, of course they got a plus one. But like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to give you a plus one and you can just bring like whoever you want. Or or some of my friends who I knew they wouldn't really know anyone, I'd be like, hey, is there anyone you want to bring? And then, you know, I talk to them about it.
Makes sense because you end up paying for this rendo that maybe you know, would not buy dinner for any other day.
Yeah. And it's just like so many people already that you're inviting. At least in our case, that's how it was. But it was like kind of I don't know. I felt bad though, saying like, no, you can't bring someone.
Well, but, don't tell Tim, but like the most fun I've ever had at weddings has been when I've gone solo.
Yeah.
To people. I 100% believe you on this. I can see it happening.
I believe that you could have fun though, but I would like feel, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm so awkward. I just stand in a corner and be like, I don't
who
know
who it is too. Like if it's somebody like your long-term childhood best friend who like doesn't know any of like your current crew, it's like, oh, I don't want you to have like a bad time.
Right.
If you just came by yourself or something like that.
Yeah.
But if it's like somebody that's like part of your normal crew and is going to know a lot of people at the wedding, I don't know that I'd give like just a blanket plus one.
Yeah.
Because I like know people and stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And at least in my case, I got a lot of questions just being like, I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Can I just bring my friend? And like, those were the ones I was saying no to.
Yeah.
I know, because it's not fair for you to like have to pay for just like a fun like dress up night out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It was just legitimately like if I said yes to all these people, it would be more than we could like afford for our wedding.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Paula, Joey, go for it. In your wedding photos, are there a bunch of like exes that have made the photos who are no longer in the picture? Like, do you wish you'd be like not invited the plus ones?
Let me think. No. So my wedding photos were mostly family. Mm-hmm. So family and like bridal party. So I don't think so. One of my friends did break up with her boyfriend right before the wedding. And like, it was a little bit of a thing of like, he wasn't the best to her. So I was a little bit like, oh, well, I guess it's good. You know, that it happens. Like, at least it wasn't in the photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been to weddings where that's been an issue, but it wasn't really for mine, actually. There weren't a ton of like people that wound up breaking up afterwards.
Yeah. I guess there's like usually not that many pictures of like significant others and like proper wedding stuff. Yeah. Like, because the bridal party isn't normally going to have like their significant others unless they're also in the bridal party.
I was thinking more just like the candid dance floor stuff where
there's definitely people that have broken out. But that doesn't really. Like, that doesn't upset me, though, like, if they're in the random. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, that was fun. Like, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's a memory. Going to town on your hair, and it's very funny.
Moose is concerned he won't be invited, so he's acting out.
Will he get a prominent role at the Getty's Harris?
Moose can be the ring bearer.
He has to be the ring bearer.
Yeah.
He'll eat the ring.
That's concerning.
I know. I'll be.
You just have to, like, attach it to something really big and that he doesn't like, which is not very many things.
I know.
Okay, so to spin off of that, how do you feel about children at weddings?
I would say hard no, which makes me a hypocrite based on what I said about inclusivity at weddings right before.
I tried to say no kids at my wedding and got a very angry phone call from my mother.
Oh, yeah?
So that was that.
I'm pro kid for sure at my wedding, but actually only kids. And that's why, can you like pick and choose the kids? Cause I'd like to
set your own rules.
Invite children who like my family, my cousins and their children. It would feel weird not to have them there, but not if it's like kids I don't know.
Yeah. I want to witness the phone call of you telling someone that they can't specifically bring their child.
Yeah, because if you say on, you know, say no kids, and then there's clearly, you can't really hide that other kids show up.
So you would just have to like play like on the RSVP card. Like you would just have to like very clearly say like you have two adult spots or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, who knows if that works? Or I feel like there's going to be probably people that are like, oh, they didn't think about the kids or and just like assume and bring them.
Yeah,
and just bring them. That would be a nightmare.
Well, I think the most important thing about being a wedding guest and probably also a wedding host is like, don't assume anything. You be really explicit. Mm-hmm. If you're confused, you ask questions. Like, do not assume you get a plus one. Do not assume your kids are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also the thing is venues will usually charge more if they have to make a kids menu. Mm-hmm. I know mine did. And it was like there were only that. Actually, the reason I was trying to say no children is just because there were only five children.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I have to pay so much more for like this kids, you know, this special kids menu. But yeah, I wound up just paying for it.
Yeah. I know it is hard when it's like you have when there's like the few kids that you do want or other people want you to have at the wedding. But I feel like I've been to like a few like more like kind of casual weddings that had like a ton of kids. There was just like a herd of them running around and it was kind of chaotic. So I guess it also depends on like what kind of wedding you're having. Cause if it's just like a casual, like outdoor or like backyard wedding, then maybe it's like not as wild than if you're like
totally
in a ballroom or like, and everybody's like in long dresses and they're all over the dance floor.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fun and entertaining when like a kid really like gets down in the middle of a group of people. But then sometimes it's like, okay, you've been there for like 30 minutes now. And some of us, we would like to like get on the dance floor. So yeah, I can see it going either way.
Maybe I'm just projecting because I definitely was that one kid that got really sick at a wedding and vomited.
Was, like, on the dance floor.
No, I somehow found my way to the, it was an event space. And so they had, you know, the food set up and they had like a little side kitchen and there was a huge industrial sink there. And somehow as a child, I found the sink and that's where I went. And I'm like, maybe from that moment forward, they were like, no more kids and this venue for weddings. I don't know.
But you were just like wandering around seeing what kind of trouble you could get into.
I would go table to table and ask people to give me their empty cans and empty bottles because I wanted the money. Kids are weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Man, you made this wedding into a side hustle.
I did. Yeah. And then I puked, so I ended up making no money.
Was it from being in the giant sink?
Or you can imagine maybe it was from handling all those like cans and bottles. And as a kid, maybe I would. Did I drink from any of those? Maybe. I don't know.
You got to empty. Make sure everything's empty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess that's influencing my decision.
Yeah. I love it.
I used to puke all the time as a kid. I don't know what was wrong with me. All the time. Maybe I would just sabotage my parents' my parents' outings. Because I remember they would take me to an outdoors music show and definitely would puke. Or they would take me on a road trip, definitely would puke. Like, it's just, there was no way to win with me. It's weird.
It's just like a psychosomatic thing?
Yeah. Like, I'm not the center of attention? Excuse me, but...
Can you figure out how dirty Cecil is?
He's so big.
Oh
my gosh. He's so big.
He's just without
the
so, so fluffy.
So good. And I guess that's the other part of having kids at a wedding is like if there are kids there, then the parents are like always a little bit like half checked out because they're like making sure that their children don't like get into too much trouble.
Yeah.
So I would want to make sure that like my actual, not that I don't care about my friends' kids, but like that they have like a fun night and stuff like that. And
exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of them would like a date night and not have to worry about it. But then if like people are coming from an in and out of town and that makes it complicated.
Yeah.
This just sounds kind of exhausting to try and figure out all the logistics for all of these things. Okay. Weddings. Okay. We're going to move on to the next one. Okay. How many have you guys heard about the burger debate?
Is it the cheeseburger versus hamburger?
Yes.
This thing?
Yes. We talk about it nightly at my house.
Oh my God.
Any guest who comes over, we are Zoom chatting with people. We quiz them on this. So I am well versed.
Jen, are you part of the burger debate?
I'm a pretty open burger person, so I don't know if I'm truly part of the debate. So I will hear you out.
Okay, perfect. And Tim might yell at me later because I don't know if I'm phrasing it correctly with the least amount, with enough information for you to make a comment, but without influencing it.
Yeah.
So just close your eyes and pretend we're not on this podcast and we're at a barbecue and someone comes up to you and is like, do you want a burger? What do you envision receiving?
A patty and a dry ass bun.
Yeah, same.
That's it. Mm-hmm. What? Yes. Bun, meat.
If you're at a barbecue,
Yeah. Okay. Gia, what do you expect to receive?
I am firmly on the cheese side of the conversation. So I
mean, you hope there's cheese.
No, yeah. I mean, I like cheese. But just wouldn't assume.
So Joey, I'm a little concerned with your phrasing. I'm going to preemptively.
I knew that this was going to happen. There's no way to perfectly phrase it.
Yeah, because I don't think it's barbecue. I think it's, or at least the way Tim has said it to me a million times is, when you're Googling hamburger, what is it that you expect to see in the Google image? Because I do think
it's not a hamburger, it's burger.
Sorry. Googling burger, what is it that you expect to see as like the Google search image?
Yeah, probably a cheeseburger then.
I would also probably see lettuce and tomato. Because like if you think about what people are uploading to be iconic burger pictures, it's like it needs to be appealing. It's like it's fully marketing. How do you market a burger? Like,
right. And so does it include cheese or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like cheese, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah, me too.
Ketchup, mustard.
So now we're getting into like the works. Now everything's kind of on it.
You didn't say onions.
I thought about it, but I didn't.
Pickles? Question mark?
Yum. Of course. I like pickles.
All of these things?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I default to like, I just assume anytime I'm ordering a burger, it's going to have cheese on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you don't want cheese, then you should specify that.
Because I feel like McDonald's has a burger and the cheeseburger on their menu.
Yeah. And In-N-Out does too, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like American cheese. So I am very aware of this. Like it's top of mind when I'm ordering a burger that it may or may not have cheese and it may or may not allow me to select what type of cheese. So I am always clarifying. I say, I'll have a burger. If it's an In-N-Out, I'll make sure to be like, no cheese. Because I do think the default often has cheese. Mm. So it's worth noting.
Yeah.
And do you feel like American cheese is normally the default?
A fast food, that's the only option. So that's where it's particularly stressful. But I think at like burger joints, like typically, American. But usually they'll be like a cheddar or provolone or a Swiss.
What's your favorite burger cheese?
I like a pepper jack. Like a pepper jack. But you know, I would be open to like a mozzarella. Like I'd be creative, you know.
Just maybe no like American. A brie burger with some like caramelized onions or something.
Oh, that sounds fancy.
Oof, I never had that, but that sounds good.
I don't know if I've ever had it either, but it sounds good.
Yeah. I've had a grilled cheese with brie.
Yum.
It's like really good.
Cheese is pretty good, guys. Pretty good.
Yeah. I don't actually eat burgers, but I do eat cheese.
Have you had the Impossible Burger?
Yeah, I think it's good. Scares me every single time.
Because it's so close.
Well, I mean, I think it's close, but I also haven't eaten meat in like so long. So I taste it and I'm always like scared. And then I make Kevin taste it. And then Kevin's like, yeah, this is disgusting. This isn't real meat.
Yeah, if you're a meat eater, you're never confused. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't tell.
Paula, I have a veggie grilled cheese recipe for you where you roast broccoli
cool.
with a little bit of honey and then put it in your grilled cheese stovetop and it's really good and it's like heartier too. Get some green veggies in there. It's delicious.
I would eat that.
Yeah. I do have some broccoli in the fridge. Maybe that's what I'll make for dinner tonight. That sounds dope.
Joey eats grilled cheese every day.
Oh really?
No.
Yeah.
I like grilled cheese a lot actually.
They're so good. Delicious. And I was like, when all of this started, it was one of those things of like, what do I do for lunch? Because we normally just go out and eat lunch. But especially like the beginning of quarantine, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. and like nothing was even open. I was like, well, I can't order like delivery for every lunch. So I was like, I feel like a grilled cheese. And then it's just like such an easy thing to have in the house.
And it's fast. Yeah, totally.
And it is fast. Yeah.
So good. So good. American cheese though, the grilled cheese. I feel like that's the only.
I do pepper jack.
Pepper jack is the way to go.
Oh, that sounds good though.
Yeah, or cheddar. It kind of depends on what's like available. I think I just got really burnt out on American cheese because I feel like that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And then once I left home, I was like, oh, there's all these other kinds of cheeses that I can.
Is there a type of American cheese that's not Kraft? Or are those like synonymous?
It's like we had Velveeta cheddar slices.
Cheese
is just
American cheese, right?
Say that again?
That's just cheddar cheese, right? Cheddar is American?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, so not at all.
That's interesting. What is American cheese then?
I think it's maybe
it's always in plastic.
Yeah, it's plastic.
No.
Yeah, but cheddar is delicious.
Because we also have like that kind of cheese in Canada. What makes it truly American cheese?
I don't call it American cheese
at all.
Actual cheese. I think it's like a cheese product.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really fake.
So Velveeta.
So
that doesn't mean that some queso that uses Velveeta. No, Velveeta goes into mac and cheese, not queso, right?
I think it might go into both.
I don't.
I'm looking it up.
Do you mean mac and cheese like Kraft mac and cheese?
Yeah, like the Garbo like children mac and cheese.
I think that,
which is pretty good.
I think that's its own genre of cheese.
It says modern American cheese, which apparently there's historical American cheese, is a type of processed cheese made from cheddar, Colby, or similar cheeses.
But it's not
Colby?
Cheddar or Colby or similar.
What's Colby?
I think it's the one that's like spotted, right? That it's like bright yellow and light in the same slice.
Can you read us the process?
manufacturing process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
dramatic reading.
Yeah.
Apparently there's also a legal definition.
Yeah, I like to hear that as well.
According to the standards of identity for dairy products, to be labeled, quote, American cheese, a processed cheese is required to be manufactured from cheddar cheese, Colby cheese, washed curd cheese, or granular cheese. I've never heard of those last two. Or any mixture of two or more of these. Because its manufacturing process differs from traditional cheeses, federal law mandates it be labeled as processed American cheese if made from combining more than one cheese. So it's just like...
So it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
How are cheeses different from each other?
I think it's like...
Are they processed?
I think it's the process. You have location, obviously, Parmesan, maybe. Does Parmesan, is it like a appellation, like a controlled appellation? Is that how do you say that? Like a controlled.
Like it has, like champagne process? Has to be from champagne.
Exactly. Does Parmesan, legit Parmesan, have to come from a place?
I think that's kind of right. That sounds familiar. I'm reading more about this Wikipedia that says processed American cheese is packaged in individually wrapped slices as unwrapped slices sold in stacks or in unsliced blocks. Blah, 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 blah.
I feel like Clarissa Fitz is reading me the ingredients of the next recipe, and I miss Bon Appetit so much. I'm like,
I know. I saw on her Instagram that her cookbook is coming out, and I was like, do we like her again? I can't remember what part of the process she ended up in. So traditional cheese is ground, combined with emulsifying agents and other ingredients, mixed and heated until it is like a normal mixture, and then they pasteurize it. So it does seem like it's just like a weird mix of like leftover cheeses that they like add a bunch of shit to.
Sounds pretty American.
Okay, may I make another cheese request? Let's talk about the truffle brie that Kevin and Paula always serve at their house. Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's incredible. Paula, where do you get it from?
Whole Foods, and it's like stupid expensive.
It's worth every single penny. So
I know. I feel like it's the only thing people like. It's like the best thing I like make, but I don't really make it. I just put it on a platter.
Yeah. Well, I love too that every time we come over, you guys serve like 3 or 4 different cheeses, and then there's so much left over of the other ones, and then within minutes the truffle one's gone. Yeah.
I don't know. I think truffles are just so good to me in general.
Yeah. Truffle everything.
Yeah.
Have you ever cooked with truffle oil? It's really good. Yeah, it's really easy to make things taste fancy when they're not fancy.
I love it. And also, we have to give a shout out to the unexpected cheddar from Trader Joe's because
Joey and I had a moment.
What is that?
Oh my gosh.
Wait, it's Jen. Called unexpected.
So it's cheddar? Called, yeah. So it's a Trader Joe's cheese that is a block of white cheddar. It's like a sharp white cheddar that has crystals of Parmesan in it.
Oh,
and it's very unexpected and delicious, but they recently just released, Trader Joe's recently just released shredded unexpected cheddar, and Joey and I both actively keep up with Trader Joe's news, so we like literally ran towards each other in our house, like met like slammed each other, we're like, did you hear about the cheese? we're bored these days, so to find your joy.
I mean, you have to find your source of entertainment somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's the girl that uploads all of the new products at Trader Joe's on a TikTok account.
Yeah. Oh my God, really? That's hilarious.
Yeah. Every day she has like a, here's 2 new items coming to Trader Joe's. And then she like goes and gets them. And then she does like little 10-second reviews of like if we should buy them or not.
Yeah, I think often I've seen my brother-in-law to do that. He works at Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah. How often does Trader Joe's release new products? Because I feel like they have such a finite product set.
I think they do like a few every month because she also will post. These are the products that are leaving Trader Joe's this month. So like they'll rotate out. I think they just have like a big seasonal selection that they rotate in and out on like a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's your grocery store ranking? Because Trader Joe's, I've only been twice in my life, and I feel like I need to.
That's my main place, actually. I would go to Whole Foods always if I like it wasn't so expensive, but
yeah,
it is.
Trader Joe's is like for the people. It's so affordable.
Yeah, I do feel like I end up spending way less money than I think at Trader Joe's because I think for some reason mentally I always expect to spend more money. But it is so much cheaper. The like pro and con of Trader Joe's is so much of their stuff is, it's like all packaged food, like specialty packaged food. So I don't feel like I necessarily always love their fresh veggies because they're always like bagged and stuff like that.
Do they do delivery? Because like we haven't gone to a grocery store.
I haven't been since quarantine because I've been like stressed out by it because they always have such long lines outside, or at least in the beginning they did.
It looks extra longer. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, my brother-in-law lives here and works there, so he brings me food. That's nice. But if he did not, we wouldn't be going there because the line is nuts every single time.
Yeah. I mean, the social distancing makes it look so much longer, too. You're like, oh, God, you're wrapping up around the Target. Oh, God. Yeah, we've been using Instacart whenever I needed to buy anything from the grocery store. And I'd feel weird about it because I want to go out there and select my own stuff. And it just feels so weird. I don't know.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing Amazon Prime delivery for groceries for, like, the most part. And it's been like very handy because then I don't have to like lug up all the sparkling water and Diet Coke for my car.
Yeah.
So that's very convenient. And then we have like a grocery store that's just like a couple blocks down. Right. So like if I ever need anything or like, especially for produce and like proteins and stuff like that, it's just super quick to go there.
Yeah. And so it's an Asian market. So they have like 5 different kinds of broccoli or like bok choy and broccoli and 5 different. Yeah. Radishes, and it's really, really good, like weird eclectic produce, and I like that a lot.
It's really great. You gotta encourage your local grocery store.
Yeah.
I know. So you guys have been doing Instacart?
Yeah.
I have
from Buyrite to like a fucking bougie ass San Francisco.
Oh yeah. Person.
Well, at least Buyrite is locally owned, right? I mean, bougie, but
those are some fancy groceries.
Yeah.
I've only ever been there really for the ice cream. I guess I haven't really looked at like the rest of their stuff.
There's like a separate location with, or separate locations with groceries, like across the street's just the ice cream shop.
Oh, that's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's one on the Visadero right next to.
What's the game called?
Yeah. Emporium. Is that right? There we go. Yeah, mm-hmm. That place existed once, guys.
I was just thinking that. I was like, oh, remember when we would sit miserable in Emporium where it was too loud, too hot.
Drinking canned wine.
And they would play really good music but wouldn't have a dance floor. Yeah. So it was like, would they make one? And they didn't really like that.
Do you think they're going to make it? Do you think they're still open? I even looked them up.
There's no way they're open.
Because it's all, you touch the arcades and
If they are open, it's not a very good idea.
We already lost the Riddler. We're gonna lose all of our favorites.
Dude, the Riddler. I should have hit you guys. I feel like maybe I texted one of you, maybe it was Lucy, but when they started selling their silverware and the glasses, I was like,
This is not looking great. Those of you that don't know, the Riddler is like a really cool champagne bar in San Francisco. That was our favorite because you would go and they would have this pour called the Joan, which was a glass of wine, but it was filled literally to the very top. Like it would like bubble over and you can get it for $12.
I would love that we all used to go to a really fancy champagne bar to get the house wine that's a brim pour.
I know.
They cut you off at 2. Like, yeah. They let you get more. Well,
it's the equivalent of drinking a bottle, right?
Yeah, it's a whole bottle. I mean,
and you feel really fancy there.
Yeah, it's so full that you can't even cheers each other. You have to like take a couple sips first.
I'm really sad. Hopefully, they come back in some form or at some point.
They did launch, the founders launched like a line of their own champagne or sparkling wine. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. It's called
Spirit Alive.
Yeah. I think it's called Femme. Yeah.
Oh, like women? Oh, yeah, because it was all like female owned and everything.
Yeah. That's the other cool thing about it. Like, sure, it was a fancy champagne bar, but it was also women owned. So that was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it was like, the decor was really cool because it was like all like black and gold and fancy.
I liked that they had the reserve signs that would say like, reserved for Beyonce, reserved for Michelle, reserved for and the first couple times I would go, I thought they were real.
And you were like, oh my God.
I was like, this is only like 200 square foot room. Like, are we gonna be that close to Beyonce? No.
The answer is no. I still have
they all are flying in everywhere.
Yeah. When I bought the glasses, I also got one of their Joan bottles. So one day we have to do, I guess, 2 Jones because that's what's in the bottle. So we have to split them and share it and think about the good old Riddler days.
Yeah.
So spirit many of fun, the Riddler.
I know. So many fun nights brought to us by the Riddler.
No. We discovered shambongs.
Yes.
That was the other
thing. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, Jen and I both own our own sets of shambongs. So we can bring the party home.
So for people who don't know, shambongs are beer bongs of champagne. And they hit you really hard.
Like, Paula, we should have sent you a set of shambongs for this podcast and we all could be in our own room.
You all would have gotten really drunk.
Just shambonging on 5:30 on a Tuesday.
It's May 18th, guys. It doesn't matter.
Listen, that's the point where we're at sometimes. Oh, man. Speaking of shambongs and purchasing things online, let's hear from a few of our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. From visionary filmmaker Ridley Scott in his U.S. television directorial debut, Raised by Wolves is an HBO Max original that explores questions of humanity and ideology against the backdrop of a strange and perilous new world. After Earth has been virtually destroyed by a holy war, 2 androids are tasked with raising children on a mysterious, uninhabited planet. As the burgeoning colony of humans threatens to be torn apart by religious differences, the androids learn that trying to control the beliefs of humans is a treacherous and difficult task. It's a sci-fi story of family, human emotion, and the hope of building something new. Nick Scarpino watched the premiere and it happened last week. The show's now going on HBO Max. You should go check it out. To learn more about Raised by Wolves, subscribe now to the official companion podcast hosted by Holly Frey that also started last week, taking fans behind the scenes of Ridley's latest sci-fi story. You can subscribe now on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It will be there. Just make sure you're looking for the Raised by Wolves podcast there. Next up, thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings. Now is the time to celebrate for many of you out there. Football, it's finally back. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million. The $1 million top prize with a total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday's football contest. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. All you have to do is download DraftKings using promo code KINDAFUNNY. Draft six players from the season opener. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now to start making it rain. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using code KINDAFUNNY will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Nothing adds the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at $1 million payday. You can download the DraftKings app now and use code KINDAFUNNY for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code KINDAFUNNY to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code KINDAFUNNY only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And finally, shout out to Honey. I've been talking about Honey forever. It has saved me personally so much money, and it has saved Kinda Funny countless money. What is Honey? These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping that we ever really do. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically test them when you're checking out. It's the simplest thing possible. You don't even need to think about it. It's just anytime you're buying something in a store, it automatically applies the best promo code to save you money. You get on Honey, you go to your computer for free in two easy clicks. It's in your browser and you never need to think about it again. It's just saving you that moolah, that dinero, that cashondo. No one's ever called it cashondo, but you'll save it too when you use Honey. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. And I'm sure that Kevin is a large sum of that money. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/kinda. That's joinhoney.com/kinda. Thanks, Honey, for supporting today's episode. Once again, joinhoney.com/kinda.
So the boys had a whole podcast about who's the pickiest eater between Greg and Andy, because Greg doesn't like weird things, though I guess he's changed on some of those in quarantine.
Oh, because he's working so hard.
Tell us about the work that you're putting in, Jen.
Tell me your secrets, because I need help with Andy.
It's exposure therapy. You just need to feed them the things that they don't like, but in small doses. Mm-hmm. And then you slowly expand to recipes that are more prominently showcased the ingredients in them. Mm-hmm. Greg used to not like onions, believe it or not, which are a staple of cuisine. He's waving.
Raw onions or cooked onions or
all
both?
Of them. He's still like slightly on the fence about raw onions. I think
I don't like them.
I could force him. I could force him. I think they're delicious on hot dogs, personally. Not much anywhere else, actually. So maybe it's just a hot dog thing. He used to be quite averse to bell peppers, and I turned him around on that because bell peppers are delicious. I understand green peppers are the least popular ones, but you know, if they're charred and like salted properly and still have a crisp to them, they're really good. Because I started making him breakfast burritos with really finely chopped bell peppers in them, it brings like a little sweetness and a little texture to them. And I think that's what turned him around on that. And then we have really good local bell peppers, or like other forms of peppers, as you know, in your produce boxes.
The Jimmy Cardello peppers that I have to bring to every meal.
Every meal. Yeah. It's like, what was the melon cucumbers. I don't know what to do with those anymore. Just so many melon cucumbers.
I realize they're a little bit more palatable when you shave off the...
Oh, you have to cut the skin. Yeah.
They're a little bitter with
them. Yeah.
napkins on.
So for some background, we're all subscribed to this same produce box and we get excellent produce. Yeah. But sometimes you're like, as a normal person, you're like, what am I going to do with that? Yeah. With like 3 weeks worth of cucumbers. So yeah.
The giant thing of mint that showed up that was like, ooh, what do we do with all of this mint besides so mojitos?
I know. Like, how many mojitos can we drink with the spearmint?
Or eggplants. Like, I don't know what to do with eggplants. Literally.
Oh, eggplant parmesan.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. So and then I can't get him. Well, no, that's not true. Well, beans are a challenge in our house. So whenever
so
I make,
upsetting.
Yeah, I love beans are so good. And also once the actual apocalypse hits, like that's all we're going to eat. It's just beans, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm slowly doom prepping him to eat beans, I guess. but when I make like the Sunday batch of breakfast burritos, I always make one with beans for me and one with no beans for Greg. And he eats breakfast burritos at an alarming pace. So he goes through his batch way faster. And he actually just decided one day, listen, I'm going to have one of these bean burritos. And he said, I did not taste the beans, which I find is progress. So
if you really hate something, you taste it. So I think it is
right. Yeah. Swoosh it. Yeah. Yeah. There's this one place we love getting poke burritos from. And online, because of the pandemic, you can't customize your order. Mm-hmm. And so he's held back from ordering from that place for 6 months until we went there 2 days ago. And then he finally could walk up and order. And then they put one bean in
one
beanless burrito. Just one bean. And this fucking guy found it and pulled it out. Just eat it at this point. It's one bean in a burrito.
Least offensive amount of beans possible.
Just, it's exposure therapy, like you said. Yeah.
Do you want to comment? Do you want to defend yourself on this? No? Okay.
Paulo and or Gia, are there any like weird things that you found that like Kevin or Tim won't eat that maybe they didn't share?
Well, Kevin hates pineapple.
and avocados. Yeah, he won't eat those.
Why? Has he ever provided a reason?
He just hates it. Pineapples, though, it's because when he was a kid, he like ate an insane amount of pineapples and I guess cut up his mouth doing it because it's really acidic, and that's why he won't eat it. But I mean, he's just against anything healthy at all.
So it's like a lifestyle. It's his brand.
Well, I've started forcing him to drink celery juice every day. And it's like kind of hilarious because I'll hand him the thing and be like, drink this. And then I'll turn around and I'll turn back around and it's gone. He's chugged the whole thing. And he'll just be like so upset, like gagging that he drank it. But he drinks it in like 2 seconds. So I can't really complain.
Perfect. Keep at it. Avocado is upsetting to me though, because
I barely
tastes like anything.
I know.
It's more of like a texture just because it's so creamy.
Yeah, but then does he hate butter? Like what's close?
No, he likes butter.
He definitely likes butter.
See? Yeah.
Then he doesn't like guac either then by default. Oh, I feel like I hear Kevin talk about avocado toast though.
That's for me. He makes me avocado toast.
You guys are
very good at making it.
You guys are very selfless in the kitchen. Like you make him bacon and meat and you don't eat that. And then he makes you avocado toast.
I only make bacon though. I don't really know how to make anything else meat related.
Bacon's pretty.
That's still
pretty
impressive.
Well, bacon's easy. You just put it on there and I know because it like kind of shrivels up.
Are you a pan bacon person or a stove bacon person?
I make it on a pan on the stove.
Girl, I'm about to change your life.
Oven bacon.
Twelve minutes on a baking sheet, no splatter. 400 degrees, 12 minutes, no splatter.
Oh, nice.
And then you just pluck it out and it's perfect.
Okay, I should do that.
It's great. And also you don't have to wear any clothes when you make it, which in the morning sometimes you're like,
you have to wear like a significant amount of clothes to make bacon because splatter
bacon
get everywhere.
Grease. Yeah, bacon grease splatter on your boobs is really painful.
Jen, when you say that, do you literally mean no clothes or you just mean not like protective wear?
Yeah,
the pants.
Do you guys have any food aversions? Like anything that you're like really specific about not liking?
I'm picky with dark meat. Like I'm pretty good with meat. I like red meat. I like poultry. I like fish, all that stuff. But I do not like dark meat poultry.
Like duck and ostrich and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then like even dark meat chicken.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a, mm-hmm. I think it's a gamey thing and also maybe a texture thing. Yeah. I don't like grizzle and that type of thing, but
I'm pretty with you. I'm not I pretty much hate tomatoes. There's something about the texture. Oh, I
love tomatoes.
Yeah. I don't like, I like them cooked, but like raw, not really my jam. Even
have
like
you had the heirloom people. Tomatoes though?
From yeah, they're so good.
Oh yeah. No, but do I need to try them?
Yeah, they're really delicious. Lucy hates tomatoes and she tried them and she said they were okay. So
I can settle for okay. Are those the ones that are just like all multicolored?
Yes, and they have like ridges on them.
They're shaped like little pumpkins, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it heirloom tomato season?
Yes. Or what? It's we're either in the thick of it.
We're on the cusp of it.
Okay. Okay. Maybe I'll adventure to the store. I need a hair. See if I can pick one up. I think most of it is just the texture because it's like so slimy.
I have a testimonial from a tomato hitter.
Yes. Please tell me, Lucy.
I enjoyed it, honestly. And I hate tomatoes. So.
Do you not like the texture of them or the flavor?
Texture. It's a texture thing I can't do.
But do are they like more grown on the inside?
But I liked it.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't buy it myself.
But you wouldn't like pick it out of something or refuse to eat them?
Yes. Like if it was presented to me as it was in that lovely breakfast you made, I'll eat it.
Dressed. I was not naked.
But otherwise,
perfect.
Probably still wouldn't buy it.
Great.
Thank you.
You.
I guess I don't like eggplant, but only because I haven't figured it out. Like I like eggplant parm, but other than that, it just like absorbs moisture. So like it just gets really oily and you're like, so it's
have you tried like brining, like salting it first? Not brining, but salting it.
Or yeah, but then what do you do? Do you like
put
wipe it
breadcrumbs
off?
On it?
And it, yeah, then you wipe it off, but it makes it less bitter.
Oh. Too.
Well, if you put like salt on it and like wait for like 30 minutes, all this moisture comes out of it too.
Yeah.
And it's easier to like fry.
And then it's like not slimy. Yeah.
And then do you wipe?
It's like when you press toast.
Yeah. Then you press like paper towels on it. And that's how you start to make eggplant parmesan. You get all the moisture out.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Interesting.
Have you tried doing like do you guys have a wok?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like do like a big stir, like a sort of Chinese stir fry?
Just like cube it and put it in there.
I like that. That's how I sneak it into Tim's meals.
You're a big toddler. What's the thing you struggle the most hiding from him in a meal, but you really want him to eat?
Tofu.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because he always is surprised that it's tofu. And he always he is always so alarmed and he thinks it's like cheese or he thinks it's chicken. And then he eats it and he makes a lot of faces. And then I'm like, it's tofu. And he's like, oh, yeah, I like tofu. I'm like, you clearly don't. But yeah, I would like tofu the one I can't. It doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
funny.
Good.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, so I probably cook with tofu like a couple times a year because Tim does not like tofu. Mm.
Oh, another fucked up thing that Greg doesn't like. Corn that's not on the cob, but he's okay with corn on the cob. He says loose corn feels like having a mouthful of teeth.
Huh.
And I'm like, but once you bite the cob,
you have a mouthful of teeth.
Yeah. I don't know. And I love making like salad that has corn kernels and like tomatoes and
corn salsa.
Yeah.
So good.
And soup also. He doesn't like soup because it's got the texture of vomit, which I'm like, what kind of...
He's weird about textures.
Yeah, because he doesn't like... he doesn't like curries or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
chili, like
Indian food.
Curries, anything that has a liquid and a solid in it, he's like, no thanks.
Jen, I feel like it's opposites attract because we started this conversation with you talking about throwing up at weddings.
Yeah.
And now
very accurate. Your
husband's scared. Do you like throw up on the is there like trauma there?
It has to be a trauma thing. It has to be.
Oh my gosh. Paula, do you have anything you hate?
Well, I just don't eat meat or any meat products. That's
respectable. Yeah.
And I'm like very like, you know, like I don't make any exceptions at all. Like I don't even eat goat cheese because it has like this enzyme apparently from like goat stomachs. But I'll eat anything that's vegetarian. It's just that like rules out a lot. So I feel like I'm the picky eater because I'm always that person where it's like, I can't go to that restaurant.
I've seen you eat like a lot of French fries for dinner.
I mean, I don't know. I like French fries. Yeah. In Hawaii, I one time ate only like tater tots for a day because there was nothing in it anywhere we could go.
I think that's such a strong personality trait about you. Like, you have such great boundaries for yourself, and I admire it.
Oh, thanks.
I will get swayed left and right into doing stuff or eating things that I'm not excited about.
I'm just a very stubborn. Well, I was a very stubborn kid when I started it too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fascinating thing to me is you started so young. Like you had the capacity to be like, no, I refuse. And your parents were like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. They didn't really like it, but they, you know, they respected it.
Yeah.
I appreciated it. I don't think there's anything I really won't eat. I'm very like every day I'm kind of annoying about getting enough protein. Like I kind of hate protein shakes, but I make myself drink them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's it.
I really hated mustard for a really long time.
I like mustard.
But that's like another quarantine discovery where it's like, oh, I actually really like mustard.
We should do a mustard ranking, Joey, because we have like six different kinds of mustard in our
family. I love mustard. Have we ever been together we've never been to House of Prime Rib together.
No.
We've never been.
Or having
oyster. Actually, I've never been there.
So I'm one of these weird people who are addicted to the feeling, the biting feeling that's in your in your sinuses.
Sinus?
I like that
too. Is it the wasabi feeling?
Yeah. Yes. And you're like,
love it. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And it's like,
I kind of like it too.
It's a painful experience. And so,
I don't want to eat sushi unless I'm also crying while I'm eating it.
Exactly. And so I thought I was godlike and immortal until I went to House of Prime Rib this one time. Which for people who don't live in San Francisco, it's like a staple in the city where it's an old 70s type place where they roll up a meat cart and they carve it out for you. And it's amazing. And it's gigantic portions of meat. Sorry, Paula. Of course, you've never been to House of Prime Rib.
I might have with Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin would really like it.
Yes.
I mean, they have really good sides, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they prep everything table side, but then they have three levels of horseradish that they bring to your table. And as someone with zero chill, I immediately went for the hottest version of it. And I put a huge dab on my meat and I put it in my mouth and I almost straight up choked and died at the table. And I don't even know how to describe it. I saw Greg, like his own life flashing before his eyes because clearly I was in distress. And I don't know what almost happened, but it was not good. It's a thing where you start like choking and you're like, okay, this is it. This is it.
And if it's like in your sinuses, then it's like breathing, which you need to do, really hurts.
You can't because it was so strong that it shut down like my respiratory. Like, I don't know. It was scary, but then I had some more and it was fine.
So I'm confused about the sauce. So, because like, is it just more horseradish?
The intensity of it? I think
they just add more into the diluted sauce or whatever.
Yeah, I think they dilute it with something when it's weaker.
Interesting.
Maybe vinegar, because it's like very like mustard is mustard seeds and vinegar, right?
I think. I don't know.
Maybe some oil, like a thickening agent.
An emulsion of some sort.
What is in mustard? Let's go on this episode. Bon appetit.
Mustard. I'm on it. Condiment made from seeds of a mustard plant. That's not helpful. That's all it says. Are mixed with water, vinegar, lemon juice, wine, or other liquids with salt and other flavorings and spices to create a paste or sauce.
So what's the emulsifiant, like emulsifier in there? It's just like the natural thing of mustard?
I guess so. Well,
with it. There's,
yeah. There's so many different ones, so it's kind of hard to tell.
But let's absolutely have a mustard tasting.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I have a really strong like German mustard in my fridge, and it bites you in the face. And it's like, let's go.
I'm into it.
Because you know what's excellent with strong mustard like that?
Deep sausages? Fried,
yes, but also deep fried squash blossoms.
Yum.
Oh my gosh.
I already thought.
An herbed cheese stuffed squash blossom, one of my favorites.
Squash blossoms are so great, and also I hate them because they're good for one day. Like if you find them in the farmer's market, they're like, I'm beautiful, and then the next day it's like, oh, help.
There was some night, or maybe it was a brunch, that Andy joined us, and we got a bunch of weird food. Jen, you were there. We got a bunch of weird food, and one of them was squash blossoms.
Foreign cinema?
It was Foreign Cinema, and he told him later, he's like, I'm never going to brunch with you again.
Why?
We went too hard.
He was too pushed.
Andy was just like hoping for like pancakes and bacon.
We had oysters and squash blossoms.
Tartare, I'm sure. Oh, man. I'm sorry, Andy, that we've scarred you. But maybe if you just tried mac and cheese.
I feel like I'm the one who's being scarred because constantly I'm trying to get this boy into our kitchen whenever we're making normal-ass meals and just have him eat some normal food.
Yeah.
Refuse to do it.
What is there a backstory to the mac and cheese thing?
No, I don't.
He just didn't grow up eating it.
Yeah.
Because we reflect on the Andy and mac and cheese thing a lot in our household. It's like
now they have the spicy hot Cheeto mac and cheese.
I know.
Why won't he eat it?
I think at one point he just like realized he had never eaten it, and now he just like wants to keep up this streak of never eating it. And like maybe I think he's built up more in his head that it's grosser. Like he thinks he's making it out to be grosser than it actually is. And again, it just makes no.
Yeah. Fucking,
oh, hey, Andy.
Hi, Andy. Does he like queso? Because we can make him. Because queso is like, it would be an insane mac and cheese, honestly.
Just straight up. I feel like his gateway needs to be like a really, really fancy mac and cheese. Kind of like what you were saying, Jen. Like you need to start with a very complicated dish that has a couple of the ingredients. And then we get like more of the pure form as we go on. I like that idea.
Yeah, okay. Pull out the Velveeta.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We should revisit this queso mac and cheese thing, though.
Yeah.
I'm mildly aroused right now.
I have to do some trial and error on that one, because that sounds like that could be a really fun thing to master. Okay. What else do we have? So at one point, the boys also theorized what they would be doing in an alternate universe. Like, if you had made, like, one or two, like, different decisions, is there any like alternate path you could have taken in life? Like, did you have to decide between like two different majors, or did you have like some desire that didn't pan out?
Yeah, 1,000 ways. I think this could go so many different directions. For a really long time, I wanted to be an astronaut, but my dad was so anti-army that I was like, the army is the only path to becoming an astronaut, so I don't think I can be an astronaut. And also, I can't count. Like, I have numbers dyslexia, so I can't do math. I need to look at it, like, and think about it in numbers. If I ever would be in a projections or, like, finance meeting with any of you, you can't ask me for a figure because I'm going to say the wrong thing systematically to the point where it became a joke at my previous job, where if we were having budget meetings, I would have to have printouts because I can't remember a number correctly. It's fascinating. It's horrifying. Then I wanted to be a pilot, and then I took flight.
It's like really all about not being on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, I want to explore.
No, we keep having this conversation where Lucy and Greg never want to go to space, and I'm like, fucking send me to space. I want to be in space. I love the idea of not knowing what's out there and maybe I'll die and it's fine, you know? Okay, I don't know. They don't want to go to space. Do you want to go to space? I want to go to space.
I want to go to space more. I like the idea of space more than I like the idea of finding out what's in the ocean. The ocean is like particularly scary to me.
I agree with space that. Is exciting. The ocean has a bottom. I mean,
we really don't know what's in a lot of the ocean.
Yeah.
So dark.
We also don't know what's in space, though.
That's very true.
I feel like the space has more openness than the ocean. Like at some point, you're going to reach the bottom, and then the pressure of the water is going to just crush you to death.
Yeah, but outer space is going to suffocate you very quickly.
Explode. I don't know.
I guess I'd rather suffocate immediately than have to like go through the few minutes of drowning.
Yeah. Drowning is scary.
You would be amazed the whole time you're dying in space because you're like, I don't know what to expect next.
That's true. It feels like it would be less painful, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to live with that thought in my head just in case I ever end up in space.
I think that would have been, if I hadn't met Greg, that would have been, I have this clear trajectory, and I've said that, I've told this story on a podcast before, I think, but I had this clear trajectory in my head where I was out of a really long relationship and I had been dating aggressively for 2 years at that point. And I was convinced that I was going to die alone because I couldn't find anything that matched my heart's desire. And so I was like, okay, cool. Just going to focus on my career, get my flight license, my pilot license. And then I'm going to start a game studio between 30 and 40, sell it at 40, become a bush pilot. And I'm going to have a dog with me in my plane. And then I'm going to be on my way to flying like a load of supplies to the northern territories of Canada, and then I'm going to crash and die. My dog survives, eats my body, and then is free into the wilderness. And that was my...
That is very vivid.
Is that like your nightmare or like what you want?
No,
that was just reality?
Yeah. And I was like 3 classes in to my flight license, my pilot license. And then the following class was supposed to be loss of control, where you literally have to bank your plane and start spinning and like just make your way down, and you have to like bring it back up. And I totally chickened out. So like meeting Greg was very convenient because I definitely didn't want to take that class of loss of control.
That sounds like I didn't know that pilots had to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I knew you had to take classes to learn how to fly, but I didn't know. I never thought about the loss of control portion.
Yeah. But they like a driver's license thing where they can regain control if they have to. The most terrifying thing.
You wouldn't want your first time to be like on a plane with people.
Yeah.
But it's like, fascinating. Of course, yeah. It's fascinating because they let you fly day one. It's like, okay, I guess we're going to do this. And then they do takeoff and landing. But in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, and they're very, my teacher was very, very nice. The most shocking thing is the weight of the plane. It was a single engine Cessna that I started, not a Cessna, because I think a Cessna by default has 2 engines, but pushing it out on the tarmac is nothing. You can do it on your own. Even like you're a tiny person, it's like a giant glorified lawnmower. It's really scary.
I was expecting it to be like a car or something where it's like, you can do it, but it's going to like take a few people.
Or like you have to be like in an intense moment of crisis where your adrenaline hits in. And you're just like...
But yeah, anyway, so one day I might pick it back up in the States because it's different from in Canada. So yeah, it's fun. It's so fun. Cool. It's so fun.
I want you to do it because then I want to fly with you.
Yeah. Let's go somewhere.
This is a fun little adventure.
I'll send you some pictures from the podcast thumbnail. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We're going to make Jenna pilot for the podcast thumbnail.
Love it.
Gia, do you think that you would be doing anything differently at any point?
Yeah. So the boring real answer is that I would probably be in book publishing, because I did do some internships in college for that. And it was less creative and more businessy in a way that at the time I didn't want and didn't like. But the fantasy answer is that I would be an SVU detective.
Ooh, yeah.
But I can't say that in this household because I live with Cool Greg, who watches crime shows and roots for the perpetrators. So we cool both.
Go ahead. I guess I never thought about that of why he watches SVU.
Yeah,
no, I wouldn't have thought of that either.
It's deeply disturbing when it's SVU because it's like you're rooting for sure, like the bad guys in the worst way. If you're Cool Greg, but yeah, I would be an SVU detective. And
you'd be so good.
Intense.
Yeah, you'd be good at it.
Yeah, I think I'd be good. I like really think about it a lot because I watch Law and Order SVU a lot. So I do feel like I would be good at it. I'm sure there's a height requirement that I don't meet, frankly. I've also thought about that. But Joey, wait, will you look that up for me right now?
Yes, I will.
I think you can. I think like you could have a very successful career and quit and then move on at 40 or 50 and be an SVU detective. Detectives are old and stupid. They're mostly
I know, but you need to be a cop first. Right? Like, so you have to have passed like the cop.
Yeah, I think you have to have been a cop for a certain amount of time.
And there may be a hard.
But again, Jen's right. You could do that if you wanted. Yeah.
What if we all start our PI like office?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would love that.
Yeah. I'd be into it.
I'm sorry, but it looks like law enforcement physical requirements is that you have to be at least 5'8".
What? Really?
No, for women.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I didn't do that.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're dreaming.
I mean, there's like not great things. Like, I don't know if employmentlawworldview.com is a great resource for this. But
it's on the internet. It must be true.
Yeah. Keep talking. I'll keep looking.
Okay. Yeah, I want a rigorous source for this, but I do think I probably am not going to grow 8 inches to then become a cop. And
I love that Tim came in as you said, I don't think I'm going to grow 8 inches. And he's not asking you any questions.
No. I'm a little lightweight obsessed with height because I'm 5 feet tall. So it's just a hot topic in my life. And
yeah.
So he's probably heard me talk about growing 8 inches many times.
Do you feel like you're much taller than you are? Because that's my case.
Yeah. No, I'm tall.
I'm six feet.
I'm amazing tall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel that way.
The most shocking thing to me is whenever Greg and I walk in front of a mirror.
Yeah. Like,
I'm this short? No way. No.
My company where I work has hired a couple people in quarantine who we have not, none of us have met in person. Yeah. So one time we made one of our new people guess how tall each of us was. We'd never met. And she did think I was 5'7".
Yeah.
So yeah. I've got that 5'7" energy. That. 5 foot package.
Mildly threatening, you know, beautiful long legs.
If only.
Okay. So I'm looking and it looks like for women, at one point the standard was 5'2", which I feel like we could finesse for you.
Yeah.
But now as I'm like digging around a little bit, it looks like they're more concerned with like your height to weight ratio of like in like your overall ability to do the job.
Oh, and that I can deliver on, I feel. And I also, when I was under 21, I used to use my roommate's ID, and she was 5'7", and not a single bouncer ever questioned me being 5'7". I would stand up like this every time. Like, I would be on my tippiest tiptoes, big person energy, and
the tallest heels possible.
Yeah, I was like teetering on 6-inch heels, and you know what? Got to drink underage. I won't put that on my application to become a cop. But
yeah, if that actually happens, we might have to take this episode down.
Yeah, seriously.
So that we don't incriminate you further.
I'll make a note of that. I'll put that down as a time code. So
what if we even like CSI or something? There's probably no height requirement for that.
No. Yeah. I want to be, it's not necessarily that I want to be in the field. Well, so I'm not a great scientist. Good at numbers, Jen, if you need help, but not great at the science piece. So I probably could be good at like a PI thing or something with data I'd be good at. But I'm not going to be there with like a petri dish looking at specimens. So I'd like to be in the field as a working detective in this fantasy.
Hey, listen, you can come on my plane and then we can go like a buddy cop movie, just like evidence in the bush.
Private jet with Janice.
Moose can have a little trench coat.
And oh my gosh, and then fly.
Get him a trench coat, yes, though, because I like that idea.
He does have a little aviator jacket, but we haven't gotten him the goggles yet, so we'll get there.
I really think we should have a PI agency, everyone.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah. I love somebody gives me a little tidbit of information. It's like, what else can I find? I will say, I learned from Gia that LinkedIn is like particularly helpful.
Fronting. I mean, you're fronting in a different way on LinkedIn, but you can always find how old people are. Always.
Really? Like, and also, everyone is
by seeing what year they graduated.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, as someone who does PR as a part of their career, like, I'm a professional stalker. I can figure out, and LinkedIn is at the center of everything, because everyone had to use LinkedIn at least once. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the platform that people forget to update.
Well, no, that's the thing is this is how I figured out that LinkedIn is the source of truth for everything, is the Bachelor contestants, before they get on The Bachelor, have to delete all their social profiles. But LinkedIn is still up. Everyone forgets about LinkedIn.
It doesn't count as a social media platform. No. Yeah.
Because it's networking.
They have to delete like their Instagrams and everything?
They have to private.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But I will say my second favorite thing to stalk people on is Venmo. Because people just forget that it's open.
I realize a lot of people are dating secretly
via Venmo. Yeah. You can tell just with like the nature of the transaction or the emojis. You're like,
I know.
Yeah.
Frequency. If you're Venmoing back and forth like multiple times a week, there's usually something.
Or like first of the month because you're splitting rent and you're not telling anyone that you live together.
Also true.
Long con. Yeah.
I can't imagine dating right now. It must be crazy.
I know.
It does not sound fun.
No.
I feel bad for people dating.
Well, and it's just, I mean, I guess it could be fun if you're just like really into the like, I just want to like casually talk to people, and like if you're not somebody that like actually wants to go on dates, but you just want to talk to people. But the idea of sitting on like a Zoom first date sounds like very not exciting.
No, it seems like it would have to be really casual or really serious. Like it could go one way or the other.
Yeah. But then I would feel like I'm just having a meeting with a person.
I know.
It's like strange enough right now to be talking to you guys like this, right? Because we usually have this energy exchange too in the same room where now I'm waiting for you to finish talking. And then there's a pause. And then, is she going to speak first?
Yeah, it is like you have to balance all of the like weird technology things.
Yeah.
I do like that you wouldn't have to shave your legs for every date. Oh my God. Like, that would save me some time.
Yeah.
And really, I feel good from like here up.
Yeah, you could be in underwear on the bottom, pajama.
Never know. Yeah. And I guess like,
nothing, maybe. Who knows?
Ooh, getting real spicy. And like, I guess if the date was really bad, you could just like disconnect everything and be like, my internet went out. Because you can't really just like bail.
It's the easiest way to ghost people in a long time. Like, shut the computer.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
What would Joey in an alternate universe be? I was in an alternate universe. There was so my major in college was cultural anthropology.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
So, which I'm like not particularly using right now. But I really liked my like senior capstone project was on like tourism anthropology of and it was like just kind of researching it and looking at different programs that people had implemented in different countries of like, how do you have a tourism business in a country that like doesn't detrimentally affect the people that live there or like take advantage of them?
Yeah.
So like that always seemed like something that could be like really fun to like go to a country and like figure out how to like have some like more real activities for people to do that showed more of like what the culture or the people or like what their specialties actually were versus just like the tourist version of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would always be fun. I always like wanted to like live abroad for a while and do stuff. So I think I would have done something kind of like that.
Totally. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Or been a marine biologist, but I'm not good at science. But that was like what childhood Joey always wanted to be.
Because you liked fish?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think I just really liked dolphins for a while.
Subject in school.
Mm-hmm.
I thought marine biology was interesting. Totally. Because, like, you're learning about, like, all these gigantic, like, things that live underneath the water. Yep. That we never see, you know?
Yeah.
And most of, like, the earth is water. And, yeah.
We should go whale watching, you guys.
I would go to do that.
I've never been.
I got seasick.
I have, but I've never actually seen a whale watching.
The seasick aspect is interesting.
Yeah.
Paula, did water...
I'll go for it.
I was going to say, what would you be in your fantasy?
I think I'd be writing. Mm-hmm. I do write for fun, but, like, you know, you're my major was creative writing. And that was what I wanted to do, is I wanted to write young adult novels. And my minor was animation, and I, you know, started to get these good internships, and I went in that direction. But yeah, I think I've written every day of my life since I was, like, maybe 13. So, wow. And I still do. And I have, like, I don't know, a lot of young adult books that, like, you know, no one's ever seen. So I think that's what I'd probably be doing if I wasn't an animator. I think I'd be.
Would you ever combine the two and
write your own? I was going to say.
Yeah. Your own project?
I don't know. Because, like, for 3D animation, it's like you actually need a whole team of people to make something like that. Like, if you look at a Pixar movie, it's like not like one person is doing everything. It's like, you know, there's someone doing concept art, someone else modeling, someone's rigging, someone's animating, someone's lighting. So, like, I don't know. It sounds like a really fun concept, but I'm not totally sure.
Would you ever consider doing creative writing in the games industry, like as part of the narrative team, or?
I don't know. Honestly, I worked so hard at this point to become an animator.
Yeah.
That I think I'm gonna, like, as far as honestly, games and
you would be
films go,
you would be, with your animation skills and, like, if the capacity to be a creative writer, you would be unstoppable.
But
if you
aren't were those to, like, totally different spectrums, though.
No, because if you think about, let's say, the cinematics team in the AAA universe, like, you would be fucking killing it because you're the Venn diagram of everything that's happening there.
Maybe, although I've never really written scripts. I more write, like, young adult novels and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I don't normally write it like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's something to think about. The thing that always was really not fun is, like, pitching your books to publishers. Oh, yeah,
I can't imagine how vulnerable.
I did it for I would go in phases where I'd, like, be like, I'm going to try this. And then it just, I mean, it's awful. Like, you just submit it, you hear nothing back, and you do that 100 times, and then you're like, this is, like, a waste of time. I should just write more.
Well, so few publishing houses, like, even will look at unsolicited manuscripts. So, I, like, as an intern working in that industry, that was, like, my job, and we were one of the few publishing houses that would even accept them. So it's like, it's really, really competitive, and an intern is looking at your stuff for a couple minutes.
Yeah. And that's why I just, like, put a book, like, up online for free, because I was like, I don't know, I don't really care about making money off this. I'm just gonna put it up there, and then people can read it if they want. It was
all
really
right,
fun.
Listen, here's my pitch.
Okay.
PI agency with crime, like, creative stories on the side.
Yeah,
so I could do that.
I like this.
We use our learnings, Gia, Joey, and I, on our investigations to feed you storylines, and then you just go crazy.
Turn them into thrillers.
Ooh, yes. Yep. I love it. Okay. Let me see what we have going for the last question. I want to talk about, because I feel like at least a few of you, I want to talk about the best hair at Kinda Funny between the boys, mostly because I want to talk about your guys' haircutting adventures from your perspectives on having to open up barber shops in your home.
I feel overly confident about my skill set because Greg has straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, like, Gia, oh my God, the scale of the task at hand, because he's got incredibly curly hair. I mean, Kevin, I don't know what Kevin's hair texture is. It's like slick back mostly.
Like his texture, it's just like extremely thick.
Okay. But he not
just has,
curly.
Like, cream. I wonder if it got longer, it would get curly, because his sister Carol has like crazy, like pretty curly hair.
But his roots are straight, which makes
But it might be like kind of, I don't know. It's never got been that long, but
let's give him a perm.
Yeah. Like he hasn't cut his hair. He hasn't cut his hair since Andy cut his hair.
Huh. Oh my gosh, really?
That's a lot. Yeah, he's not cut it. My hairdresser came to my house to do my hair, and I said, like, do you want her to cut your hair? And he was like, no, it's he thinks any haircut over $20 is like too expensive. So he said no.
I feel for the first time I cut Greg's like top hair with scissors, and I was like, okay, I think I can do this. And then Lucy asked me if I could cut her hair, and I said no, absolutely not. Like, I cannot imagine cutting women's hair.
No,
well, that's is it a one haircut though? Is it like is it all one length though?
Yeah. Whoa. But I'd be so scared because in function of the part, and then do you do a straight cut or do you cut?
But
in
Brad like, Mondo like, made a video how to do it.
So that's what she watched to cut her own hair. And she did an amazing job. But my thing is I could never live with the guilt of screwing her haircut up because she looks beautiful and I couldn't.
Mm-mm. I get that.
Joey asked me to cut her hair, and I also said no because she also like Joey has gorgeous, thick, curly, beautiful hair, and I was like, that seems complicated.
You've got amazing hair, Joey.
Yeah. I don't want to fuck it up.
I know, but I'm like very not attached to my hair. Like I love my hair,
and it grows.
Like, I'm attached to your hair for you. Like I wish I had this hair.
Like, it's one of those things, though. It's like, like. If whatever color I'm trying to do doesn't work, or like if the cut is kind of wonky, it's like, oh, whatever, like I'll cut it off and it'll grow back. And like,
yeah, that's how I feel about my hair too.
Oh my God. I have like thinning, horrible hair. I'm like, whenever they give you a tutorial about how to make a beautiful bun, like my bun is big like this because it's like, that's how much thickness I got going on. It's like, that's it.
We got donuts and that looks big and poofy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They're really easy to use too.
So Greg did let you cut the top part of his hair.
Yes. And I think I did a really good job too. Because it was like having a situation here. And I was like, no, too emo, too dramatic.
too much.
Yeah. But has Tim allowed you to cut the top of his hair yet?
No. So he's very comfortable with the sides, which I enjoy all of it. Like I'll do whatever. But he has not let me touch the top of his hair, and he won't let me shave Moose's butt, which I really want to do. Because I don't know if you can see this furry little butt, but it needs a shave.
No, there's a lot happening in there.
It needs a little, some maintenance, but Tim won't let me do any DIY on Moose. So
what's he going to do? Moose doesn't have any Zoom meetings. Nobody cares.
No, I'll get graphic if you'd like me to, but things get trapped in that little butt.
Oh, no. I meant, like, if you give him a crazy haircut, no one's going to comment.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, well, Tim was – his main concern was that I was going to use Tim's shaving tools.
Oh.
Shaving apparatus for it, which I was like, yeah, I mean, that's what we got. So,
yeah.
It's all good. Whatever. It's all good.
That's
fine. But, no, Tim won't let me touch the top of it.
The lock's more fascinating. He's just like, he's got a cloud going on.
I know. I'm like, it can't look worse, Tim. Like, I love you, but it can't look worse.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Yeah. I've never cut anybody's hair.
It's stressful. So,
have you cut your own hair, Joey?
No. I've never done it. Because in high school, like, I always had, like, there was my one friend, Allie, who was always like, let's dye people's hair and let's cut it and stuff like that. Yeah. So she just always did it. And then she, like, actually went and got her cosmetology license, and she, like, still does my hair to this day, but she, like, knows what she's doing now. Paula, I'm telling you, I'd let you cut my hair if you were interested in that.
Yeah, Paula, I would trust you with my life.
Paula, do you want to shave Moose's little butt?
Of all those things, I am the most scared to shave Moose because I'm afraid about cutting him.
There's so much fur. You'll have to get really in there to hit skin.
And he's so wiggly. I feel I like I would also be very stressed out by that. So I feel you.
I love that he has not left you for a single second.
I know.
Tim took him for a second and then put him on a chair where he can't jump off, so he was just marooned there by himself on this chair. Baby.
Gosh.
He's so cute. Moose.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for joining us on the kind of honey, kind of funny podcast. It was good to see your faces.
I know.
Hopefully at some point we'll get together, and on the next one we'll be able to talk about our new PI business and the queso mac and cheese that we've perfected. Thank you so much to everybody that was listening. You can catch the show every week on youtube.com/kindoffunny or on podcast services, or you can get it early with some bonus things that we're going to be talking about after on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Until next time, we'll see you later.